Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dahl. And I don't know what it's like, Gary, where you are, but I am in Waco, Texas, central part of the state of Texas. And we have had rain for the past 2.5 days. And today the sun has come out and it is absolutely beautiful. It's going to get up to about 58 degrees today. And so the weather could not be more perfect where I am. How about where you are?
Well, we had a lot of rain yesterday. And as a matter of fact, last night we had a winter warning up here for ice and snow and sleet. That, of course, is in Pennsylvania, in the mountains of western Pennsylvania, actually. But before I came into the studio, Dave, I looked outside and it's nice and sunny and it must be about 45 degrees. So that's not too bad for where we are here in PA.
Yeah, not bad at all, and especially for this time of year. Well, the reason I'm asking that and bringing it up, Gary, and friends that are listening today is because we're going to go to Washington, D.C. momentarily, actually in segment 3, and we're going to get an update on the live nativity that's been taking place there in our nation's capital. In fact, it will be concluding in about 5 minutes. And my son, Nathan, who is with our Hope to the Hill ministry up on Capitol Hill, is going to be calling in, giving us a little bit of an update about what took place. And already, friends, I have seen some of the video clips of the live nativity. It looked like to me it was the largest number of participants they've ever had, the largest number of media that came out. It looked like to me, at least from the video clips, to cover this event. And so that will be a great blessing to you. And even as that is happening around the United States of America, there are attempts to stop live nativities and the emphasis on the true, real meaning of Christmas. And that's been taking place, friends, even this week in the state of Indiana. We're going to get a report on that in segment 2. But for right now, friends, I want to go to something that is front and center. And if you've been watching the news, you have seen something about this. And it has to do with the controversial election recounts that have been going on, or at least the attempted recounts in 3 states. And amid all of that, anti-Donald Trump forces are escalating their efforts to invalidate his election on another front, and that front is the Electoral College. Now, we've talked at great length about the Electoral College on this program, why we believe it was sheer brilliance on the part of our founders to have a thing called an Electoral College. Again, friends, remember, we are not a pure democracy. It is not just the popular vote that wins. We are a constitutional republic. And so we have a representative form of government. And part of that is this Electoral College process. Otherwise, small states, insignificant states, would be rendered basically powerless and have no influence whatsoever in the election process and really in the governance of the country. So the Electoral College was a brilliant, brilliant idea, something I believe and I pray stays in place, even as many are saying we need to discard it and go to just a pure popular vote. That would be a travesty. Our founders were brilliant and knew what they were doing. Well, the people who technically chose the next president, that is the Electoral College, will gather on December 19, not too long from now, to make the results of the November 8 presidential election official. And on election night, if you will remember, Donald Trump won 306 electoral votes, and that's well above the 270 needed to defeat Hillary and claim the White House. But even as Hillary Clinton herself conceded and joined President Barack Obama in urging a smooth transition, there is a group of electors, part of this Electoral College, from Colorado and Washington. They're known, Gary, as the Hamilton electors, and they are trying to persuade other members of the Electoral College to abandon Donald Trump, not vote for him, but unite behind an alternative Republican instead of Donald Trump. And on Monday, 2 days ago, a gentleman, one of the electors by the name of Chris Suprin from Texas, was siphoned off by this Hamilton electors group and now says he will not cast his one electoral vote that he's able to cast himself of his state's total 38 electoral votes. He's not going to cast it for Trump. He said, and I'm quoting him, "I'm here to elect a president, not a king." Now, Gary, I want to ask you a question about this. This has been somewhat subverted and somewhat behind the scenes, and all the attention in the media has been given to what Jill Stein has been trying to do. But Gary, my thought on this the whole time has been that Jill Stein's efforts on the vote recount is a smokescreen to keep the American people's attention from what is going on behind the scenes with this Hamilton Electors Group, and that is to subvert the Electoral College process. So, Gary, I want to ask you, what do you think this is? Is this an establishment GOP attempt? Is it a Clintonian Democrat effort to keep Donald Trump from being the next president? Is it a combination of both, or am I missing something and it's actually something else going on?
Well, you know, David, it's hard to tell. I mean, it could be a combination of both plus a few other things as well. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. As a matter of fact, I really wonder how committed Chris Supran is in not going to vote for Trump. And the reason why I say that is that at some particular point, I basically saw him in an interview where he said, well, when it comes down to it, I'm really not committed. And so what does that mean? You understand what I'm saying?
I
would venture to say that he probably, without a doubt, is under pressure from somebody not to vote for Donald Trump. But when it comes to it, you know, on December the 19th and the 20th, whenever they do cast those votes in Washington, it remains yet to be seen what exactly he's going to do. But we know this. We do know that there are those forces out there that would do anything that they possibly could to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. And the interesting thing about this Electoral College, Dave, is that there's no federal law that requires electors to vote as they have pledged. But 29 states, including the District of Columbia, do have legal control over how their electors vote in the Electoral College. Now, you mentioned that Texas does not have they're not bound there, and that's absolutely true. But in those 29 states where there is some authority, it means that the electors are bound by state law and or by state or party, their party, to cast their vote for the candidate that wins the statewide popular vote. Same time, there are 21 states in the union that have no requirements of or legal control over their electors at all. So it's just interesting to see how this is all going to come together. As you said, Dave, you know, our founders established the Electoral College, and for many, many years, there have been those who have been trying to overturn it and do away with it, as it is the case again this year. But it's wise simply because of the fact that it's the only way to have what you would call a fair and balanced vote in the presidential election.
Yeah, Gary, you're 100% correct. And we don't have time here to go back and you know, relay out the case for why you know, that is so and do all the specifics. But Gary, here's what is somewhat troubling to me, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist at all, but all it would take would be for 37 electors to be persuaded either to abstain from voting or switch their vote from Trump to someone else. And then what would happen is the election, as far as who's going to be the next president, would be sent over to the House of Representatives. And the House of Representatives, according to the Constitution, would then, of course, make the decision. And, you know, with so many of the people in the House being establishment GOP, that could be very, very interesting. Well, friends, we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, in the days ahead between now and December 19. But when we come back from the break, we're going to go to the state of Indiana, where a judge has said no live nativity. What has happened on the part of the school that was told that is ingenious. You're going to love this. Join us after the break.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The idea that Christians and their pastors would hold to biblical views about marriage and human sexuality seems to be scandalous in some circles these days. Take the uproar that started last week when the website BuzzFeed published an article saying that the pastor of the church where hosts Chip and Joanna Gaines of the HGTV show Fixer Upper attend opposes same-sex marriage, and who knows, maybe they do too. The whole idea of the article is to try and scare Bible-believing Christians from making their views public. It's part and parcel of the ongoing attacks on religious liberty, the freedom to believe, and standing for the truth that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. Worse yet, these types of attacks seek to prevent Christians from even getting jobs or obtaining licensing to be counselors, attorneys, or medical professionals. We need to stick together and stand up for truth, and I invite you to join with the Pennsylvania Family Institute to do so. Go to pafamily.org for more information.
I'm Jan Markell, helping you understand the times.
The word racist has been used to describe numerous acts, from racial profiling to popular music. But is it the right word to characterize a complicated issue?
Race does matter to God, and it would be great if we included Him into more discussions on race. It was God's idea to create humans of all races in His image. Therefore, what God has created, we should not hate. If God is the creator of the races, then let's get Him more involved in trying to help us sort it out. If race is a Christ matter, then it is in Him that we will find the answers to these issues. If the police and the African American community can allow God to tear down the wall of separation, then we will save some lives and find the peace we all need for our communities. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, as we said going into the break, there is a school in Indiana, a high school, that received a lawsuit from furious liberals and atheists because their annual Christmas spectacular, one that they've put on every Christmas for years, is in violation of the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. This school tradition even includes every year a live nativity scene. However, Christmas spirits were definitely dampened around the school after they were sued by the organization known as Freedom From Religion Foundation. And Gary, you and I know that organization well as the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of one of the student's parents. And a local judge sided with that student and with those parents and issued an injunction on the live nativity scene. And all of this, of course, is being reported across the United States in a number of newspapers, as well as on a number of the television news outlets. U.S. District Judge John DiGallo sided with the liberals, saying, quote, "The living nativity scene impermissibly conveys an endorsement of religion and thus runs afoul of the Establishment Clause. Now, I want you to listen to what the judge said. Gary, this is so important. The living nativity scene impermissibly conveys an endorsement of religion, and that is what runs afoul of the Establishment Clause. Now, here's what the school did in response, and it is sheer brilliance. School officials were clever enough to find a way to work around the judge's order that allowed the show to go on while remaining in compliance with the law. Now, what I want to do is I want to have our engineer play a clip from WSPT News in Elkhart County, Indiana, where all this happened. And once you listen to the clip, it may become glaringly obvious what they did. If it's not glaringly obvious, when we come back from listening to the clip, we're going to share with you the sheer brilliance on the part of the school system there in Indiana. So, Russ, let's play this clip.
After a federal judge ruled the performance could not have a live nativity scene, the show
but Gary,
began.
I guess we don't have the clip, maybe. But anyway, let me explain what
it's
they
there,
did.
Dave, it's there. He's playing it.
I thought
okay, all right,
really
go ahead.
Cool. Even though that there was mannequins, I liked the part where, at the end, where everybody went together, and then since we were on the balcony, that people could see the instruments on the row.
The school's principal says all four shows this weekend are sold out, despite the changes to the nativity scene tradition.
It did not shake my faith at all, and it did not shake my belief in the performance of the kids. I just thought it was a spectacular show, and the message was still there.
When the still life version of the nativity was revealed on stage, it prompted the biggest applause line of the performance.
I'm just glad that everyone feels that they can still come out, and it's still Christmas season. You know, it's a holiday. It's beautiful.
We are still waiting for reaction to this new version of the nativity scene from the groups that went to court over the issue. We reached out this evening to both the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU of Indiana for comment. So far, we have not heard back from them. But there's no question that the school's new take on the nativity was a hit with most of those in attendance.
All the children give a lot of time into for the show and prior to the show. So I'm just proud of Concord's band and music department. I think that they're wonderful.
In Elkhart County, Danielle Kennedy, WSBT 22 News.
Well, I guess they say that there's more than one way to skin a cat, Dave, and that's exactly what has taken place here. And I understand you could not hear it because it's only in one channel, but the fact of the matter is it was clearly played. And this is a time, David, when the mannequins did not break the law and kept humans from doing so. Quite a clever stunt was done there.
Well, Gary, this is a classic example of the folks in the school system taking literally the judge's order word for word, because what he said was the living nativity
living.
Scene
mm-hmm,
is
yep.
that which impermissibly conveys an endorsement of religion. And so they said, well, we will not use a living or live nativity. We'll put mannequins up there and let them do it. And so what our listening audience could not actually see is that there's a video associated with the audio of that clip. And they actually have a mannequin live nativity scene on the stage there at the high school. And Concord Community Schools is the name of the school. And wow, Gary, what an amazing thing!
I think the judge had something. I think he knew what he was saying. You know, judges aren't, well, most of them aren't stupid. But the very fact that he put the word "living" in there, don't you think he might have known what he was saying to give them a way around it?
Well, Gary, I don't know. You know what? That's an interesting observation. I think because they had a history of doing live nativity scenes and had never done one that was a still nativity scene, maybe he was just trying to keep them from doing any kind of nativity scene, but he used the word living in his directive and in his order. And so they capitalized on that and were able to circumvent it while still actually complying with the law. And friends, I want you to understand this injunction is a preliminary ruling and applies only to this year's Christmas spectacular there in the state of Indiana, in this one particular school system. And so the courts ordered that the school not present live nativity scenes. They've gotten by with it this year, Gary. Who knows what's going to happen next year? But I want to ask you a question. Don't you think this is somewhat symptomatic or emblematic on the part of the school system that they would challenge the directive in this creative way? Don't you think some of that is coming as a result of what happened on November 8, understanding that we now have a more thoroughly faith-friendly president in the White House. We now have more Christians that have been elected to Congress than any time in the history of the United States, except at the founding era. Do you think all of that is factoring into the minds of these very conservative people in the Elkhart County area of Indiana? Because I think it might be the case.
Well, I think it might. It could possibly be. I don't know that it would entirely, but it could possibly be the case here. You know, we do know that there's been an attack on Christmas for many, many years, and schools have been told that they shouldn't sing the Hallelujah Chorus, or at least they've stated that they're not going to sing the Hallelujah Chorus, or whatever the case may be, and Christmas carols and Christmas songs that are normally sung during the Christmas season. So, you know, there has been that attack, and a lot of schools, of course, have complied to what the liberals have tried to get them to do. But it could very well be that what took place out here in Indiana factored into it. You know, Donald Trump did say, Dave, that if he's elected, we'll be able to say Merry Christmas again. And so, you know, that says a lot about where he is. And we do know that we've got a lot of believers who are either in or connected to this administration. And so I kind of think that it wouldn't surprise me if there wouldn't be more attacks on Christmas this year than ever before Donald Trump is actually sworn in as the president.
Well, Gary, I think that is the point I was trying to make, is that Donald Trump has been on the record saying we need to be able to say Merry Christmas. We're going to say Merry Christmas again if I'm elected president. And, you know, that filters throughout America. And, of course, Indiana, that's the state from which Mike Pence hails, our VP-elect. And so I just can't help but wonder if they came up with this ingenious way to actually comply and yet still get the nativity on the stage, because they know that there is a different sheriff in town, so to speak. Gary, let me do this, and I want to shift gears just a little bit in the remaining minutes we have in this program. Yesterday, Donald Trump did announce another one of his cabinet positions, and it has to do with ambassador to China, and he chose the Iowa governor, Gary, who is himself on record promoting the reading of the Bible. In fact, he promoted Bible reading marathons across the state of Iowa, and actually got into a little bit of legal hot water over doing it. Again, some of these same organizations that went after this school in Indiana went after him, saying, you know, you're violating the separation of church and state, you're violating the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, and all of those things. And yet he persisted, and now this is the gentleman that has been selected by Donald Trump to be ambassador to China. He has intimate knowledge of working relationship with the Chinese, and so he's eminently qualified. But again, Gary, here again is another outstanding choice by our president-elect, someone who is a staunch defender of our First Amendment religious liberties.
Well, and again, I think we're going to see more and more of this, and I think this is one of the reasons why the left really are up in arms, you know. We have people today, David, as you know, who are ungodly. They will do anything they can attack Christians. They will stand against Christmas. They will stand against anything that is church or biblically related. But in addition to that, they are not constitutionalists. They do not understand the First Amendment. And so when you've got a president like Donald Trump, who, number one, has, at least he's on a spiritual journey, as we've talked about many times. He has been bringing people around him who have a biblical foundation and a biblical understanding. He has said we need to get back to the Constitution. We need to have judges in the Supreme Court appointed who are constitutional judges. You know, David, that there are going to be all sorts of people out there standing against him. A spiritual battle is going on. We need to pray for our president to make the right kind of decisions that will be biblical and constitutional. And we also need to pray for his protection and wisdom to make those decisions in such a way that will be for the betterment of our country.
Well, Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. And at the end of the program today, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But friends, we're trying to encourage you, and I hope you are encouraged, because we're living in a phenomenal time. We're living in the United States of America, where Christianity, expressions of our Christian faith, and I emphasize Christian faith, have been demeaned, diminished. There has been an attempt to remove them over the last 8 years under the current administration. And now that Donald Trump is our president-elect and Mike Pence is our VP-elect, it's an amazing thing what they are doing as far as their cabinet picks. It's an amazing thing what has happened up on Capitol Hill, as you well know. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go to our nation's capital. And my son, Nathan Kistler, is going to call in and give us an update about something that is just concluding in our nation's capital. Ironically, it is a live nativity. Don't miss it after this break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad is President-elect Trump's choice to serve as U.S. ambassador to China. He's friends with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. The president-elect says he expects to name a Secretary of State next week and confirms Mitt Romney has a shot.
Yes, he does. I mean, I've spoken to him a lot. We've come a long way together. We had some tremendous difficulty together, and now I think we've come a long way.
He was on NBC's Today Show. With a jury selected now, the Charleston, South Carolina church shooting trial has started.
Dylan Roof proudly told people he entered Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston in summer of 2015 for the sole purpose of killing African Americans. He sat inside the church for an hour listening to Bible study before shooting Pastor Clemente Pinckney and eight others to death.
Fox's Evan Brown. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WFYL. Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dull. Sam Rohrer is away today. Friends, I want to encourage you, if you enjoy this program and would like to recommend it to someone else, or if you would like to go back and listen to one of our programs, we would encourage you to do so. And you can listen to them by going to our radio website, which is simply standinthegapradio.com. standinthegapradio.com, and you can click on any of one of three buttons. There is a Today, Stand in the Gap Today, which is this program tab. You can click on that. All of the programs that we have on our daily program are archived there. There is a Stand in the Gap Weekend tab or button that you can click on, and you can listen to the weekend programs. And then you can also click on the Stand in the Gap Minute program And you can listen to the Minute program, which is a 60-second commentary on some of the issues that are facing us today addressed from a constitutional and biblical perspective. Well, friends, we're waiting for my son to call in from Washington, D.C. While we're waiting, Gary, let me ask you a question. I know you just participated in your church, just participated in the Altoona area Christmas parade. And I think you said it was the largest parade or the best attended parade maybe in history, or maybe at least in a long time. And your church also won a very prestigious award in that parade. So talk a little bit about that award and then tell us what kind of feel you got from this year's parade post-election.
Well, first of all, let me say that it was about 10 years ago that the city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, decided, after not having one for a period of time, to have a what they call the Spirit of Christmas Parade. They had really downsized it from what it was years ago and almost got down to nothing, to the point that a few people marched around one of the malls in our area. But the city decided we're going to go into this full-fledged. And so about 10 years ago, they put together this Spirit of Christmas Parade. And, you know, I feel that this is an opportunity for a church, any church, to be a testimony for the Lord. I mean, they've got the bands, they've got the, you know, everything that you'd have in the parade. But the churches were invited to put together floats. And we've had a float in the parade ever since it started. And there were times that we won fourth prize, fifth prize, first, second prize, whatever. But this year, we won the first prize. We won first place prize in the parade, which was amazing to me because, yes, it was the most attended Spirit of Christmas parade that I've seen in our city since it's been established again. And secondly, it was the longest. It had more involvement in it, more floats, more people involved with it than in past times. But I have always felt that this is one of the ways that we can present a true witness of who Jesus Christ is. And so not only did we have the float in the parade, David, but we passed out thousands of gospel tracts to people with a Christmas message along the street. And it was just a great thing. And I've got to say that the crowd was enthusiastic. And again, you begin to wonder if this isn't even tied into our election. I mean, when you've got a president elect who says now we're going to be able to say Christmas again, that just sort of releases the horses, as it were. It lets the horses out of the barn, kind of a thing. And I think that Christians are ready, after having felt suppression for so many years, I think they're ready now to stand up and speak out. I think we're going to see more of it as time goes on.
Well, Gary, I agree with you. And I think what happened in Indiana is an illustration of the encouragement the American people are feeling. I think what you saw at your parade there in Altoona is another illustration of how excited people are that they're going to be able to express their Christian faith in an unmitigated, unhindered way. And we have online right now my son, Nathan Kistler. He's the director of our Hope to the Hill ministry in our nation's capital. And if I understand correctly, Nate, you are now just concluding this live nativity in Washington, D.C. I want you to give us a little bit of an update. But before you do, let me say welcome to Stand in the Gap today. It's great to have you aboard.
Well, I'm going to be completely honest with y'all. I was stuffing my face and with some light.
Well, that's important.
Well, you know, it is, and I was enjoying the chili so much that I forgot.
Chili.
Yes, chili.
And you didn't offer your dad and me any.
I'm so sorry. But
when it comes to chili, Gary, he will not share. He just will not share.
Moving on to the important things of the day.
Yes.
we had a wonderful time today. And we had folks from four or five different states that came in to help with our live nativity this morning, and an early day, but the weather was beautiful, unlike yesterday. It rained horribly, but the weather is beautiful. The sun was out, and it was almost 50 degrees this morning, and we started the nativity, walked around to the front of the Supreme Court, and I got to sing before we started, and then I sang in front of the court and took some pictures, and the Christmas story was read from the front of the Supreme Court, which is just a wonderful thing to be able to experience that most people don't ever realize we have the opportunity to do, to read the Christmas story from the front of the Supreme Court.
Nate, let me jump in and ask you a quick question. As I saw a video as you were coming out of our ministry headquarters and the headquarters there at Faith in Action, and all the characters in the live nativity were getting in position there in front of the office. It appeared to me that, number one, you had more people participating in the actual live nativity itself, and it appeared to me as I was watching the person filming, kind of panning across those that were there, it looked like you had more media covering the start of the event. Most of them cover the event when we get around to the front of the Supreme Court, but it looked like he had more media right there in front of the office as well. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And I think the great thing, we were talking just a minute ago before I called y'all, at the end when we all came back, we had families that I guess had found out that we would be ending at the office. They brought their children out to get pictures with the camels. So it looked like a Santa's workshop at a mall at the end, and it was really neat. People came and were explaining to their children. I was listening to mothers talking to their kids, explaining what the camels, what the whole thing was about. We have a lot of Christian folks that I had never met, that had never met us, but brought their children so they could experience this wonderful thing. And Rob always reminds everyone at the end that, there are two reasons we do the Nativity. One, it's to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the beginning of Christ's life on the earth and his birth, but also to promote our First Amendment rights in front of the court here. And, he said, if you can do a live nativity in front of the Supreme Court of the United States, you can do a live nativity anywhere in the United States.
So don't ever even in a school in Indiana, Gary, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, whether it's the live or the mannequins. But I do agree with what Rob's point of emphasis is there. And I've heard him say that before, that if you can do a live nativity there at the Supreme Court, you can do it anywhere around your courthouse, around your city hall, or whatever the case may be. The other thing, Nate and Dave, though, that impresses me is that I think that the nativity, and I will say it this way, the live nativity is the best way that we can express what Christmas is all about. It's not just, a season of Merry Christmas. It's a season of incarnation, as it were. And the live nativity shows that. And so that, illustrates what Christmas is all about, and in and of itself presents the reality of the truth of the gospel.
Nathan, let me ask you a quick question. A couple of years ago, I was asked to be a character in the live nativity, not just attend it and walk with the group, but actually don regalia and be a wise man, which was a wonderful privilege. I know as we walked through the streets, there was enormous response, both from people driving their cars down First Street or Second Street or up the House or Senate side of Capitol Hill. They would roll their windows down. They would shout words of encouragement to us. They would give us thumbs up. They would honk their horn in support of what we were doing. And it was somewhat of a festive atmosphere. Can you gauge whether or not there was more of that this year rather than less? Just talk a little bit here in just a couple of minutes we have left on the kind of response you got from the residents of D.C. themselves and how they responded to seeing a live nativity moving through the streets of our nation's capital.
I've heard the same, before over the past few years. And I think this year was different in a way. When we got to the front of the court, I sang O Come Emmanuel as the Holy Family, as it were, walked, led in procession and set up in front of the court. And people, as we were, walking over there, people were moving around. There's a lot of people. There's actually oral argument going on today at the court. So a lot of people are coming out of the court today, more people than we've ever had in that area during any live nativity. And when I started singing and people realized what was, going on, there was a hush that came over the entire area there in front of the court. And everyone got quiet, and then people were very reverent. Even people who, just normal people that weren't a part of our event. So it was different. I think it was better this time, but it was definitely different than what we've had before. It was just a great sign and show of reverence today for what we were to do.
Nate, where is the nativity going to go from here, the presentation? I know in the past it was up at Fox News. Is it going to be up there this year, or will there be presentations other places as well?
Yeah. It will not this year. Since the fellow from Fox News has left, we are not doing it at Fox this year, unfortunately, but we're hoping that next year they will.
Okay.
Nathan, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
And friends, you've been listening to Nathan Kistler. He's the director of Our Hook to the Hill Ministry there in our nation's capital, giving a live update on what took place with the live nativity. And I'll be honest with you, Gary, I was moved almost to tears as Nathan was describing these folks coming out of the court and reverently watching as he sang and as the live nativity set up there. Friends, this is the time for us to speak up with more courage than we've ever done. This is the time for us to let our faith be heard and let our light shine bright. Join us after the break.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. Thus spoke President Franklin D. Roosevelt following the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor by over 100 Japanese aircraft. 5 American battleships and 3 destroyers were sunk, 400 planes were destroyed, and over 4,000 were killed or wounded. President Roosevelt concluded, "With confidence in our armed forces and the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
I'm Laura Pasquale, travel planner for Dog Tag Tours. In honor of WFYL's 5th anniversary in 2017, we have collaborated with the station on a really unique World War II history tour to Europe. The tour's theme,
So Help Me God,
Faith on the Battlefield. The itinerary will explore both battle sites where liberation from the Nazi occupation was achieved and visit sacred places, churches and cathedrals, small and grand, which served as shelters, hospitals, and rally points for those with boots on the ground. A few of the highlights, Normandy, we'll stop at the landing beaches at Utah and Omaha. We'll visit Braycourt Manor, where Pennsylvania's Major Dick Winters had his first test of leadership. We'll stop at a church where medics treated civilians, American GIs, and even German soldiers. In Bastogne, we'll visit the foxholes, where members of Easy Company struggled during the early fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. For more information, check the WFYL website or go to www.dogpagtours.com. Call 717-417-USA1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, this is the 75th anniversary of the attacks on Pearl Harbor, and there's a lot being said about that today, and we want to say thank you to those who gave so much and to those that kept America free and that have attempted to defend our liberties and freedoms down through the years since those horrific days and the attacks in that area of the world on our battleships and on Pearl Harbor itself. Gary, I think it's somewhat almost ironic that yesterday there was a report released on the eve of the 75th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attacks. There was a report released by the Homeland Security Committee's December terror threat snapshot, and they said that the United States faces its highest threat from Islamic terrorists since 9/11, and that much of the threat now is going to come from those who are radicalized at home, that is, here within the United States of America. What's more, the report said the threat to the United States and Europe will persist well into 2017. Friends, many of you know this, but let me just kind of reiterate some of the numbers. In 2016, ISIS alone conducted 62 attacks worldwide, injuring 732 people and killing 215 in a multiplicity of countries, including the United States, France, and Belgium. And yesterday, Congressman Mike McCaul, who is on the Homeland Security Committee, in fact, he's chairman of the committee, said this: "Make no mistake, we face a deadlier threat than ever before, not only because our enemies have gotten savvier, but because we took the pressure off of them. For 8 years, the Obama administration reluctantly played global hack-a-mole with terrorists rather than leaning into the fight with decisive leadership." Gary, that was a stunning, stunning statement coming from Mike McCaul. I want to ask you a question, Gary. The most recent attack that we have witnessed came from an 18-year-old who attacked at Ohio State University. He was a Somali refugee. The attack, you know, only resulted in him being killed, but he horrifically injured 11 other people, thankfully, that have survived. With the emergence of this report, along with the election of President-elect Donald Trump, a president that I believe understands the threat and appears to be poised to deal with it, what should be the response of Christians right now in America as we're going into a highly, highly volatile time, a time where terror attacks, no doubt, are going to be attempted the Christmas season? What should be the response, Gary, on the part of Christians and more specifically on the part of pastors across the nation?
Well, first of all, let me say, Dave, you know, you get a lion cornered and he is going to attack. And I think that right now that the members of ISIS and otherwise who would be terrorists against the United States of America see Donald Trump as somebody who is going to do everything that he can to wipe out ISIS. I think they believe that 100%. And so I kind of suspect, and I hope this is not true, but I kind of suspect that even between now and January the 20th, when he is inaugurated, that there may be something attempted by ISIS or other groups. And I think that that may be one of the reasons why, you know, the report is telling us that the threat to the United States of America and Europe is as high now as it's been in a long time and will persist into 2017. So, you know, we can expect that. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Yesterday, President Obama got up, I think it was in Tampa, Florida, down at MacDill Air Force Base, if I'm not mistaken, and basically said that this battle against ISIS and terrorism is going to go on for a long time. We're in this for the long haul. And practically at the same time, Donald Trump came along and said, we're going to stop ISIS. Quite a difference between the two.
Well, and Gary, so, it is. One is leadership and the other is passivity. Mm-hmm. One is directly grabbing this animal called ISIS by the horns and wrestling it to the ground. The other is trying to placate and pacify them. And so, Gary, I agree with you. I think the more that these entities, these terror entities that are Islamic in nature, the more they understand the commitment that Donald Trump has to their eradication, and he needs to be committed, as does every American. Every person certainly serving in Congress needs to be unequivocally committed to the eradication of these entities. And the more they understand that, Gary, the more I think they're going to want to strike while their ability to do so is stronger rather than less.
Absolutely. And I think we can expect that. I think that, you know, we need to be diligent and keep our eyes open wherever we go. But, you know, as far as what we are to do and what pastors can do in encouraging their congregation, Paul said to Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Certainly, I think that as Christians, it's absolutely important that we depend upon God during a time like this. And as we depend upon God during a time like this, as we face the potential of terror, let's go about our regular activities. Let's not hide. Let's not stay at home. Let's be diligent. Let's keep our eyes open. But let's trust the Lord, because we know that He has told us that He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. And in addition to that, pastors can lead their congregations to be in prayer for safety in our nation. Pray that God will keep down the terror. And remember, in reality, Dave, that's what government's for, is it not? To terrorize terror, to terrorize the evil. And so I think that pastors, on one hand, in encouraging their people to stand firm, trust the Lord, should also encourage their people to pray for safety in the United States of America today.
Gary, your admonition to pray could not come at a more opportune time. It serves as the great perfect segue into what I wanted to do as we exit the program again today. Friends, we introduced the first part of this week an initiative we're calling Every Night at 9. Every Night at 9, encouraging believers all across the United States, in whatever time zone you happen to live in, pause for 60 seconds, no less than that. Bow your head and petition the God of heaven for wisdom for our incoming leadership, for protection over our president-elect and vice president-elect and their families. Pray that they will acknowledge and understand, as will all the newly elected members of Congress, that they will understand the desperate need they have for God's wisdom. And then pray for protection for the United States of America as we move through the inauguration and into the new year. And pray that our country will turn back to the God of heaven, and we will experience a mighty revival in this nation. Gary, I'm going to ask you to pray as we exit the program here momentarily, but I want to say something last night. This was a blessing to me beyond belief. Our service went just a tad longer last night. We had some wonderful fellowship following the service, and so there was a sizable number of people still in the auditorium at 9 o'clock last evening. And what was amazing to me as we were saying our goodbyes out in the church foyer, a cell phone alarm started going off. It was people who had already set their phone for the 9 o'clock hour to remind themselves, stop, pause, pray for the nation, pray for our incoming leadership. So what we did, all of us there in the foyer, and there was a sizable group of us, we all joined hands and we prayed together for our nation. Gary, people are taking this seriously, as they should. And so I want to encourage you, friends, to do that every night at 9, pause, and pray for our nation, its leadership, and for revival in our country. And Gary, I'd like to ask you to do that right now as we exit the program today.
And you know, Dave, if every Christian across America would pray for 1 minute at 9 o'clock every night, that's a lot of power, that's a lot of prayer, and we could anticipate the Lord working in
Amen.
Great ways.
Amen.
Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we thank you that you've given us this great tool of prayer. And we are reminded that we are to offer prayers and supplications with thanksgiving unto you. We do pray, our Heavenly Father, for the safety of our nation. We pray that you will keep down the actual threat of terrorism to nothing, so that we can go throughout this season and honor you in the incarnation of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Gary, thank you so much. Friends, don't forget, every night at 9, pause for 60 seconds at least to pray for our nation, its leadership, revival in our land, which is the answer to every one of America's ills. And then join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now, for our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today. Hope you have a blessed, spirit-filled day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM.